This is John Abrams, and this is the Variety Artist, episode 55. I updated my resources page again. I just put the best entertainment photographer and all his info on there. His name is Michael Messing. Most of you already know him, or know of him. Michael is the official photographer for the International Brotherhood of Magicians. He shot promo pics for some of the most famous variety performers in the world. Go to my website at thevarietyartist.com and click the resources page. All his info is right there. Now let's get to the interview. Today's interview is with magician Alana. Don't let her beauty fool you, folks. She speaks at least four languages, has traveled around the world, has worked at the Magic Castle, and has an act that kills. Beauty, brains, and talent. Talk about a triple threat. Enjoy.
Welcome to The Variety Artist, providing aspiring artists and entertainers with in-depth discussions from top performers from all over the world. So get ready to book some gigs, make some money, and have some fun with your host, John Abrams.
She won the German Grand Prix 2011 and was the first woman to achieve the prestigious title German Champion of Magic. TheRidges.com dubbed her the number one hottest female magician in the world. She's considered one of today's shooting stars among magicians. Variety artist, I give you Alana.
Hello.
How's it going, Alana?
I'm good. Sitting here in Germany on my desk. Literally sitting on my desk because that's what I do. I sit on the desk.
Isn't technology great? It sounds like we're right next door to each other.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Great thing.
I learned something doing the research for this interview. I looked up your website, and right before looking it up or on the screen, it had a Google Translate, and it says if you hit this, you know, it'll translate the page. But it translated your entire website.
Oh, it did. Okay. I never tried that before.
Neither have I. So I could actually read the entire website. It was kind of nice. Now, was it written in German?
Yeah, it's written in German, but there's also an English version. But at the moment, it's kind of updating. Somebody's updating it for me. So I don't know what's going on at the moment. But it's going to be on like in a few days again.
It actually reads great. Now, you've done your show in English, German, French, and Spanish?
Yes, exactly.
Did you grow up learning those languages or how did that come about?
No, I do, you know, I do speak German because I'm from Germany, but we learn English at a very early point in school here. And I just always had a thing for languages, you know, I just love learning languages. That's why my job is so perfect, you know, traveling around the world and being able to, you know, just speak all these languages. It's just a fun thing to learn for me and to speak.
When you did that first show in a language that was not native to you, was it scary?
Not really, to be honest, because my first show in another language was actually English.
Oh.
And it kind of felt natural to me. I don't know why. Even today, you know, it's very funny. I performed at the Magic Castle last summer. And sometimes it even feels more natural for me to speak English and more fun because it has another rhythm, you know, than German. It's less complicated.
Oh.
I love speaking in English, especially.
If you're booked in a different country and it's not Germany, France, or Spain, or Mexico, do they tell you speak English, or how does that work?
Yeah, usually yes. Yeah, they tell me to speak English because usually people do speak English, right? But I also do have some other visual acts where I don't need language at all. So I just use music, you know? So, but yeah, but normally people ask me to speak English.
And that's perfect because you can do those routines in any country in the world.
Exactly. Yes.
Now, when you do your social media, I just looked on your Facebook story and you were speaking in English. Do you do different languages on your social media?
No, usually I put everything in English because there's just so many followers, you know, who are not from Germany and, you know, they're international. So English is the language to go. That's just it.
Oh, there you go. All right. Well, we're going to switch up a little bit. Who are Frederik and Margit? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, in German it's Frederik and Margit.
Okay.
But you were doing well, yeah. My parents, actually. These are my parents. They were magicians too.
They were magicians too?
Yes, yes. Well, now they're retired, you know, but I grew up in a magical environment. So my parents have been doing magic for a long, long time together and I grew up in show business.
So that's how you started?
That's how I started. Yes. The first time I was on stage was on my fifth birthday. I was with my dad and just, you know, not really doing anything. I was singing with him a song, I think, because I was, you know, not learning magic yet. And he did a show that combined magic and comedy and singing and all that kind of stuff.
And that was at 5 years old?
Yes. On my fifth birthday.
So when were you bitten by the magic bug?
To be honest, quite late, because, you know, I grew up in surrounded by magic, by my dad's shows. It was kind of normal to me, you know. It wasn't anything really special, you know, like other kids have, I don't know, whatever, doctors as parents or teachers or whatever. So right. For me, it was normal. I didn't really feel the magic bug biting me, you know, until I met some other young magicians of my age. Maybe I was like 16, 17, I think. I went to a magic convention, the first convention ever. My dad never brought me to any magic convention before because we just did shows together, but, you know, professional shows for lay audiences. When I met some other younger magicians, that's when I became really interested in magic.
I think we forget that it's not normal. Like all of my friends, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh yeah, the movie. Yeah,
Freddie Mercury has a party where he invites all the giants and the little people and all the crazy people in the industry. And I looked at that and I said, hey, that party looks like one of mine. and I forget that that's not normal.
Yeah.
That's not the everyday average thing.
Yeah, it's not.
For me, it was totally natural.
Yeah, for me, it was natural too, you know, to be surrounded by not only magicians, you know, actually not really by magicians, because my dad, you know, when there was a show or a gala show with more artists, he was the only magician, you know, mm-hmm. So I never really met a lot of magicians in my life. I met more or less, you know, like singers or other people from all kinds of art forms. So what I'm saying is, like, you know, for other people, it's like this: magic is first a hobby and then it becomes a job, maybe, right? For me, yes. It was the other way around. It was first a job, me doing shows with my dad for money, for real money, and then it became a hobby. So for me, it was really the other way around.
Oh, let's talk about your routines then. I love, my favorite routine of yours, of course, is In Her Hands.
Yes.
It is a beautiful routine. For people who have never seen it, kind of describe, I mean, of course not how it works, but kind of describe what it looks like.
Yeah, of course. Well, I'm going to explain you how it works. No, I'm a magician. I cannot do that. You know, it's a fun routine. You know, it's not like completely mysterious magic. It's more like a fun routine. It just shows who I really am. And in the beginning, I, you know, it looks like I do have several hands, and they're all, you know, kind of playing. They're very playful. They take care of me getting ready for the stage. You know, there's some makeup involved. They're kind of bothering me a little bit in a funny way, you know, that I'm putting up my dress, you know, like showing my legs. And, you know, it's a very playful routine. Another part is magic with earrings. This is a big thing. This was the first thing I created because I love big earrings. I'm still wearing them. So they change color, you know, they change the shape. They disappear and appear. It's a really nice thing to watch. And at the end, I'm taking my hat off. Oh. And I'm putting it back on. You know, I'm not headless now. So.
I love that. That's a great visual. The head taking off.
Oh yeah, yeah, it is. It is.
Or how did you start doing the hands thing? I mean, what inspired you to do? You know, you're taking off your head, and you, instead of having two hands, you have, I don't know, five, six, seven.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever it is. How did you come up with that?
Yeah, you know, I the first thing, like I just said, was the earrings. That was the first thing, but this is like a 3-minute part. So for a full act, of course, you do need more material. I always loved magic with body parts. You know, I watched, for example, Rudy Kobe, a magician who has four legs. Maybe you know that routine. Very, very nice. Christopher Hart's hand, you know. Steve Sheraton was a great influence. You know, I watched all these kind of things, and I just like to do magic with body parts. It's just something that's a little weird, a little crazy, a little funny. Just fell in love with it and tried to work on it. And you know, like, and the female part came a little bit later, you know, like playing with the makeup and with the hair and with everything, you know, that the hands are doing. So it's a nice combination of feminine magic and just crazy magic.
Tell us the story. I was reading, I forget what magazine it was, the story about India when you did your hand routine?
Oh yeah, that was quite nice. I was performing in India for the first time about two and a half years ago. It was crazy, you know, because there's a goddess that's called Shiva and she has several arms. And the Indian people, you know, they came to me after my show and they started speaking about that goddess. And, you know, some of them were really quite, like, I felt like quite religious and quite into it. And they wanted to take a million pictures of me. And some of them thought, like, I would be the like incarnation of the goddess or whatever, you know? So that was really weird, you know, but in a nice way, you know, they were very friendly over there.
Oh yeah. My daughter spends a lot of time in India right now. She's in Nepal.
Oh, nice. Nice.
And in India, they speak very highly of their gods. So they must've, yes. That must've been something seeing you on stage with all sorts of arms.
As I bet. Yes.
Now, one of the things I noticed in watching your videos is your branding. I've talked to a lot of people, interviewed a lot of people, and I've noticed that the people who work in the higher end spectrum of our art have branded themselves with higher end fashion and things, and you're no different. You've branded yourself, it seems like, you know, with high end fashion and such. So you can ask for a higher dollar, I would think.
Sure. Well, I just love fashion, and it's quite an influence to me, you know, and it plays a very big part, you know. Well, not in this act we were just talking about, not that much, but you know, in my latest act, I'm playing a lot with fashion on stage. It's an act where I produce clothes like magically out of the air, out of my hair. For me, it's just, you know, like a, yeah, it's like a brand mark, you know, people know that I'm doing this kind of things, like with fashion in general. It doesn't have to be clothes, right? It can be the hair, can be jewelry, can be shoes, very important for me too.
Right.
You know, like people book me for these kind of things now. Also some brands, you know, they book me for these kind of things.
Have you ever been hired specifically for a fashion show?
Yeah, I did in Germany. Yes, I did that. And but also, you know, there's a company here that produces jewelry, really nice things. They sponsor me, you know, with the earrings.
Oh,
so that's,
nice.
That's quite nice. Yeah. Yeah. That's really
good. Very smart.
Well, yeah. You know, you just do what you love and you get some things for free also, you know.
Okay, what is the best thing you've gotten for free?
The best thing I think the best thing was to get, well, actually it was not really fashion, but it was this super expensive cream for the face, you know, that cost like in a store, like $150 or something, just for a little cream jar, you know?
Yeah.
That was really crazy, you know? I would have never paid that probably, that much of money.
You're like, thank you very much. Now I'll try it.
You should try it.
Hey, wait a minute. What are you saying?
Don't need any filters anymore. No, just kidding.
All right, now, you also write or have written for a German magic magazine?
Yes, exactly.
Is that a regular thing? Was that a one-off or how does that work?
No, it's not a regular thing, you know, like depending on what I'm doing or what ideas I have, I write sometimes, but it's not a regular thing though.
And have you found that there are some advantages to writing for a magazine? Some people that you may hear from that you hadn't heard from before?
Yeah, but you know, like lately, the last 2 years or so, I haven't written that much, to be honest, you know, but it's always nice to write something, contribute something to the magic art. This is what I really like to do, you know, to bring closer to the people what's going on in the magic scene, you know. Mm-hmm. And yeah, of course, sometimes people come to me or write me and I get in touch with people that I wouldn't have gotten in touch, you know, otherwise. So it's a good thing to do, actually, to write for some magazines. It's really good. I should do it more often again.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the last time I was writing, like a couple of months ago, I think, about the theater contract that I just finished on Sunday. So I was busy for 6 months and I just presented like one of the oldest variety theaters in Germany where I was working now. And
yeah, and when you write for the magazine, you can put it on your website and I could just hit Google Translate and then I could read it.
And you can read it. Exactly.
You were on the cover of Genie magazine?
Yes, I was. Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Now, just like writing for a magazine, did you get a lot of phone calls after that?
I did, yes. Well, actually, it's emails today. You know, people call you less and less, but I do get emails. Yes, of course. So it's always nice to be on the cover, you know, and it always brings you some new contacts, some old contacts that remember you again. So that really helps, yeah.
Was that the only cover that you were on, or were you on others?
No. I was also on some German magic magazines, and I think in Austria, I think in England. So quite a few countries. So that's really nice.
Now tell me, I was reading about your FISM experience.
Yes.
That something happened during FISM. And tell us, for people who don't know what FISM is, tell us what FISM is.
Well, FISM is the, oh my God, now it's hard to say it in English. I know it in French, you know, Fédération Internationale de Magiciens.
Okay, so for anybody French out there, they understand now.
They understand it, you know. No, it's just the organization of amateur and professional magicians like worldwide, and they do the World Championships of Magic every 3 years in a different country with a lot of shows, a lot of lectures and competitions, of course, you know. They fight for the title, the World Champion of Magic, and they have different categories.
You explain that beautifully in English.
I hope I do. So I participated in the contest and I was very, very excited because, you know, it's a big thing. There's about like, I don't know, about 2,000 people watching and a lot of important people from the magic scene, but also from, you know, the artist scene, the international artist scene that look for new acts. I was rehearsing for months and training and, you know, I had a really good spot in that show. Which means like the contest was divided in two parts and I was just right before the break. So that's a good spot, you know, to be in because people can talk about you during the break, you know. So I was really lucky with that one. So I was just, you know, behind the curtain, all prepared. The adrenaline was flowing. And then, you know, I heard somebody announcing the intermission, you know, the 20-minute break. And I was like, what is going on here, you know? Like everything was set up. Behind the curtain, I was ready to go.
Oh.
And then I heard, like, from behind the curtain, people running out of the theater.
Oh.
And I didn't understand anything. So somebody by accident announced the break and just forgot me, you know. People were confused because my name showed up on the screens, right, in the theater. So people were kind of confused, but a lot of them started running out because they thought, well, it's a break now. And I just started crying, you know, because all this tension you have, you know, inside your body, it's just, you know, you're just going down again and
you're ready to go, right? Ready to
go. Yeah, you've been waiting for months for that, you know. So I just started crying like a little girl and had to redo my makeup, you know, and you know, you have to get into the adrenaline again, you know, after like 20-30 minutes. It was so stressful, but actually I did quite well. And yeah, a lot of people saw me, a lot of people booked me. So that was really, really helpful, even though it was a little weird start.
I'd be freaked out, I think.
I was, trust me.
Yeah, I'm sure. And then you have to rev yourself all back up and get ready to go again.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, I'm going to ask some fun questions now. Tell me about your dog, Tiffy.
My dog, Tiffy. Yeah, she just turned 7 already. I can't believe it. She's a very funny dog, you know. She's not really a part of the show, but sometimes it happens that I make her appear out of some silks or something, you know, and people just love her and she's a natural on stage. I think she just likes it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She just likes it, but I don't want to involve her like too much because I don't want to be dependent on her, you know, or people saying, why didn't you bring your dog today, you know? So
all of a sudden the dog becomes the star of the show.
Yeah, exactly. You know, kids and dogs, you know, what do you want to do after, you know?
That's right. One of the things I do magic with live animals is one of the things I do. And one time years ago, maybe 20 years ago, someone said, well, can you do magic with this cat? Because I want to give this cat to my kids. And if you make this cat appear magically, I'll be able to give them, it'll be a great ending for the end of the show. So I'm in the middle of my show about 20 minutes in, and all of a sudden you hear from maybe 5 or 6 feet away from me,
meow. Oh gosh.
Meow. And I, of course, hadn't made the cat appear yet. And so I promised myself I would never do magic with a cat again.
Yeah. And you never know what's going to happen, right? With an animal. So
especially an animal that makes noise.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go on to fact or something John just made up. Sound like fun?
Yeah, it sounds fun. Definitely.
Is it fact? Or is it something John just made up?
I'm going to give you a headline, and you're going to tell me whether it's true or not. And if it is true, tell me a little bit about it.
Okay.
First headline. During a show, a spectator started dancing with Alana and proposed.
Well, it's fact or something made up, but I have to say it's half-half, actually. Oh. So, yes.
Okay.
So, the dancing really did happen. It was a very fun show here in Germany. You know, sometimes I do have some tracks of, you know, music during my performance. And the spectator seemed to like the music so much. He said it was one of his favorite songs that he just, you know, I was doing a trick with him, you know. But he just stopped doing the trick and just started dancing with me in a very classical way. Well, thank God I took dance classes, right, when I was a little younger. So that was really fun. But he didn't propose, though.
Oh, he didn't propose. I was so looking forward to that story.
I was so bad at dancing, you know, that he just said, oh, no, she's not good.
She's like, he's like, go back to your magic thing.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, next headline. During her In Her Hands routine, Alana didn't realize the stage manager had put the fingers on one of the hand in a very precarious position.
That's made up. That's made up.
I'm just picturing that, you know, one of the hands appear and then all of a sudden you go, wait a minute, that wouldn't be good.
No, but funny.
Next headline. Alana was doing close-up magic and didn't notice that she had pink lipstick on her teeth the entire night.
Yeah, that's actually a fact. It is a fact, unfortunately. Terrible. You know, usually, you know, I do this kind of girly thing when I put my lipstick on after I take a tissue, you know, and I just kind of bite it, you know, with the lips, so that the lipstick like wears off a little bit, right? And if you don't do that and you're talking a lot, moving the lips, they can get real pink, you know, in my case. Maybe I have strange lips, I don't know, but that happens for me. And once I just forgot it and nobody really told me. I mean, like 100 people must have seen it. People want to be polite and don't tell anything, but it was just, you know, after I was going to the bathroom to wash my hands, and then I smiled in the mirror, and then I saw my teeth, and I was so shocked, you know. Terrible. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's not that terrible, but you know, people cannot take you seriously like that, can they?
I don't know. Close-up magic, you know, you want them to look at your cards, your coins, or whatever you're doing, and instead they're looking at your teeth.
Exactly.
Yeah, you don't want that to happen.
I felt like maybe they look at my teeth because they're so white because I just bleached them, you know, but actually, no, it was the pink lipstick.
You're thinking, I look good.
Yeah, I paid for it, you know, and now they look at it. How perfect is that?
Okay, next headline. Yeah. Alana's head fell off way too early in her act.
Yeah, that's also half true. It did, you know, like when I'm taking off my hat, it just fell off earlier than expected, but I caught it at least, you know, it didn't bounce on the floor or anything.
Yeah, I pictured it rolling across the stage.
It was a surprise for me too. You know, I think I was more surprised than the audience, you know, at that moment.
You're like, why is my head over there?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, just put it back, you know, that was fine. But the moment was really like big, huge surprise for me.
And what if it fell into the audience?
Depends on the audience, right? I don't know. Like maybe somebody would keep it or throw it back at me, or I don't know.
That's a whole nother act.
That was fact. Or something John just made up.
Yeah, it was.
I'm going to ask you one question, and I'm going to be very careful how I put this. It's about how you look, because you were voted, you know, dubbed the number one hottest female magician. Do you find that your looks help you book shows?
Well, first of all, I have to say that list, you know, that was put out, it was a bit, you know, I thought more it's like funny, you know, like to put me on the number one. I mean, you're flattered, of course. it's normal, but I don't think it was like only about the looks, because I don't consider myself as you know, extraordinary good looking. I'm regular looking, and I can do something with makeup. You know, I'm happy with myself, with my appearance. But I think also, or I hope at least, it was also about what I'm doing. Yeah. Because that makes a lot, that just makes a lot. You know, it's not only the look, it's just the whole package, right?
Right.
If it helps, well, I can't deny it. I think if you have a pleasant appearance, you know, it can hurt, right?
Yeah.
So I try to just take care of myself, of how I look, you know, but I really try to convince the people with what I'm doing also, you know, because this is so important. I mean, what does a good looking person, you know, if it's just the looks, like, it's not enough. I'm not a model. Yeah. I'm a magician. So I just try to convince the people with what I'm doing or with how I am, you know, like the presentation, or just I'm very open-minded and very communicative. And I think that really helps too.
And you're terrific at what you do.
Oh, thanks.
My mom, who is now 75, I think. Uh-huh. I remember when I was a kid, she did accounting, was her business. Yeah. And mm-hmm. she would apply for jobs, and she would say right out, she's a very attractive lady mm-hmm. when she was 30 years old. And yeah. she used to say, I use my looks, because it was a different time then. The 70s and 80s were a different time then.
Yeah, sure, sure.
She'd say, yes, if I can use my looks to get a job, I will do it. And yeah. I kind of admired that in a way, that she used what she had.
Well, if you have it, you know, why not use it? You know, I know one artist here in Germany. It's not a magician, though, but still, like, it's a guy, actually, and he looks really beautiful. He could be like a fashion model or something, mm-hmm. but he prefers to make himself, well, I wouldn't say ugly, but definitely less attractive.
Oh.
So he wouldn't be booked just for his looks, you know. He wears really, really strange clothes, and you know, his hair is a mess. He would look like a fashion model if he would be really, you know, dressed up and neat looking, but he prefers not to do that. Still, he gets booked because the things he's doing, they're just great. So you can go that way too.
So people are looking at him for his talent as opposed to his looks.
Yes, exactly. I mean, that's not a, you know, an advice for every good-looking person, you know. I mean,
yeah, if you're good-looking, make yourself hideous. Just that's my advice to you.
Well, you can do that, right? But I mean, you know, it's a choice for everybody. You know, everybody has its own choice. You can do it or not, or, you know, you're free to do what you want to do. If you want to use the looks, just use the looks. I think skills are really way more important.
Yeah, because if you show up and you're attractive and unskilled, chances are you're not going to get that job.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have some advice? We have a bunch of different listeners here. Some are beginners, some are pros. Do you have some advice for the beginner?
I do have, and it's something that I did not follow when I was starting. So I would like to say that now, right, with the experience. Well, I can just speak more or less about magic, of course, but I think you can apply it to other art forms or whatever you're doing. For magic, it's really important that you play with the objects you want to do magic with. It doesn't matter if it's coins or ropes or balls or whatever it is, right? Even I think if you're a singer, like, it's good to play with your voice, to find your own style, you know, and to find your own techniques, and to just get your hands used to, in my case, right, the hands and magic,
yeah,
of course. Used to the objects or the things you're performing with. Because that will give you a very natural look and a very natural approach to the things you're doing. So I think spending a lot of time with whatever it is,
yeah,
is really the best advice that I can give.
Yeah, how about some advice for the working pro?
You know, it sounds really boring, but first I would just give the same advice, because you can't stop doing it, really, right? So if you want to mm-hmm. have a progress in your, you know, even in your professional life, it's really important to be curious, you know, to discover new things, because this will make you fresh still, even if you have done the job for like, whatever, 10, 20 years, 30 years. I think it's going to make you fresh, you know?
Yeah.
So not losing your curiosity is a very important thing that, you know, because I've seen a lot of professional artists that just seem to be so like out of it. You know, they do their acts or their shows, but they're not into it anymore. And I think if you put something fresh inside, this can really, really help, if you, even if you do it for many years or decades.
That's great advice, because I did this for, done this now for 20 years or so. Mm-hmm. And around year 15 or so, I found that I was doing the same routine, same show over and over and over again. I was very good at it. But after a while, it does get stagnant. And over the past 5 or 6 years, I've really started to put together some more original pieces and become exactly what you're saying, more curious. And it's been a more exciting adventure for me.
And the audience can feel it, I'm sure about it. You know, I just finished a contract at a beautiful theater here in Hamburg in my hometown. I was here for exactly 6 months. And I've been doing my act in her hands there for 6 months, right? 6 days a week, sure. 8 shows. So it was a lot. And I thought, I've been doing it for years now. I don't know if I can make it look fresh still, you know? And then I started working on some details, putting some small details inside the act that I've been doing for years.
Yeah.
And suddenly it became fresh again, like to me, you know? I mean, the audience has seen it for the first time probably, but I felt more fresh with it. So it was so, you know, like for 2 years, I haven't worked on it at all. I have worked with it, you know, but not on it. That was really a good thing to do, and it made me excited again, you know, to perform it and to try it, and that's really good advice I can give.
That's great advice too, because we do the same routine over and over and over again. We think it's fine, it's perfect, exactly the way it is, and then if years later you can take a fresh look at it, and say, well, maybe if I add this little bit here, or maybe if I take out this little bit here, how is it going to change and actually be even better?
Of course. And sometimes it's good to ask some friends or colleagues. You know, I had amazing colleagues at this theater, you know, not magicians. It was a mixed show with different kinds of artists. You know, my colleagues, especially the puppet player in that show, he had such a great look on people, you know, and he watched my show over and over, and he suggested me some things, even if it was details like the way I look or the way I act, but no, not the way I look, the way I act, you know? Well, this is the English thing. Germany would say, look, the way I act, you know. This was so interesting because he said, maybe you could be more playful here or look more surprised there. And I was like, oh, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe I should do it. And then I started trying things, and then it became so much more exciting for me again, and it really became better. I watched myself on video, you know, I taped myself a few times, and it became much better again. So it's really good to do that. You know, of course, you cannot constantly maybe do work on your act that you've been doing for years. Sometimes you need a break, but it's good from time to time, you know, to just put something fresh inside again.
Yeah, it keeps it fresh for you, keeps it fresh for the audience.
Exactly.
Now, do you have a book for us? Maybe a book recommendation, something that might help us along in our careers?
Well, of course, I can recommend a magic book.
Oh, of course.
But it's actually not only for magic. It's quite interesting. It's by a German, well, he's a magician, but he was mostly directing acts in Germany. His name is Eberhard Riese. And he brought out a book maybe like over 10 years ago that's called Fundaments, like fundamental stuff of stage magic, but it's also like in general, it's not only magic, you know, like how you create an act, how to turn on your creativity, how to work on your lighting, you know, it's about everything more or less. And this is really a great book, you know, that gives you an insight of many things that you should know, you know, when you start performing on stage.
Do you know if that's translated into English?
It is, yes.
And say the name of that again.
I think it's, oh my God, I have to think, Fundaments or Fundamental.
And who is say the author again?
It's Eberhard Riese.
Well, this was fun, Alana.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
This was good. Thanks for hanging out with me for a little while here.
Thank you.
How can someone get a hold of you? Through social media and such?
Yes, of course, social media. I'm on Facebook, Instagram. This is the two social media channels that I'm using usually. Of course, I have a YouTube channel. If you type in Alana Magic, you will find me on all these social medias. Yeah, I'm just posting a lot of things, keeping my followers updated. So yeah, you can follow me there.
There. And if you can't read it, just hit translate this page.
Exactly.
Perfect. Thanks so much. I appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thank you, John. Thank you so much, too.
All right, and thanks to all my Variety artists. If you found this podcast valuable, tell a friend. That's how we can spread the word. You can reach me at john@thevarietyartist.com or join my Facebook group at The Variety Artist, where you can ask me to ask questions of our guests. Now go out and book those gigs, make some money, and have some fun.
That's all for this episode of The Variety Artist, but your journey continues on our website. Go to thevarietyartist.com for more strategies, insight, and resources, as well as show notes on today's guest to assist you in your career. We'll see you on the next episode of The Variety Artist. But until then, go out and book those gigs, make some money, and have some fun.